Many people thought the Share Your Embarrassment tour was over, but it was just dormant. We are really excited to announce that right now, tickets are on sale for the streaming Cyboctacular. We filmed our Hollywood show last year, and it's going to be streaming starting May 16th and available for a couple of weeks after that to anyone that holds a ticket. And if you have a Max Fun membership, you can get your ticket at a discount. Just check your inbox for an email for Max Fun with that code. If you aren't and would like to see the show, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets today. These shows are really fun. We put a lot of work into high-quality production values. And if you get a VIP ticket, we can even meet face-to-face over the internet. Get your tickets today at greatestgentour.com, and we'll see you on May 16th.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Adam Pranica.
I am your other host, Ben Harrison.
How's it going, Ben?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah?
Do you have anything thought up for the beginning of the show? We don't really need this part on the show, but we always do something.
And we never plan it, which I think is great.
Yeah. I was talking to our friend Chris Bannon of the Wolf Den podcast,
friend of the show, Chris Bannon,
and he hadn't heard our show yet. This was kind of early days, and he's like, "Well, what happens on it?" And I was like, "Well, we start with like 2 or 5 minutes of banter," and he's like, "Okay, it sounds like a podcast so far."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're contractually and legally obligated to begin any podcast with between 3 and 5 minutes of bullshit.
Well, at the risk of...
I believe that's the Marin rule, right?
Right. At the risk of making it too formalized, I think that we do have a few categories of things. Like, we'll either talk about a embarrassing thing that happened to us with regards to the show,
yeah.
Or we'll talk about... opening some cards, you know, like we have like a couple of almost segments at this point that we can slot into this space.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you want to open some cards? It's nothing stopping us.
Our duty is to open them until they're gone, and then we're really fucked.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
The game is 5 card stud. The game is exceedingly simple. Order this is just the cards there.
Time to pluck a pigeon.
Are you going to open some, or should I, or should we
both?
Yeah,
let's open together, okay. In case one of us gets a clunker. Ben, I was reading recently that all of this card opening might be for naught in our quest for a natural Jaeger.
Why do you say that?
Because there is no Biff Jaeger card in these packs.
No, like, I don't think that's true.
I thought I read the Biff Jaeger was a special thing that they stuck in cases, like for collector card sellers.
I don't know about that. I think that...
Did I misread that?
The fact that the signature cards we do have look like the exact same series as the Biff Jaeger ones that we've seen pictures of...
Uh-huh.
...makes me think that we may find a natural Jaeger yet. We may find, like, some total other character, but...
Holy shit, Ben. I got another special card.
God damn it.
This one is Beator of Lursa and Beator. It's just a painting of her and her cleavage and her name, and that's all it says. It is card U17, so it must be a special card.
Yeah, they're definitely throwing some cards in here that aren't like the ones that they commissioned for the series.
How about that? I'm going to stick that in the pile next to Commander Sunad, the Charles Dennis card, as you remember him,
mm-hmm.
And my Sterling Mason Jr., my two most prized cards.
My first card is the Naked Now.
Excellent.
Yeah, finally got one. I also have Elementary Tier Data, and I have one that's just Worf. Worf one is really great.
So you got a Worf version of the Beator card I have?
I guess so.
That's great.
Yeah, it's got a little silver inlay on the his name.
That's what I got.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. I'm glad we both got special cards.
Yeah.
Rounding out my pack, I've got Deja Q, the Survivors, Skin of Evil, and Homeward. Homeward is one that I don't believe we have seen before. Looks like the outline of someone wearing a hazmat suit, and then a picture of the Enterprise going toward a bullseye.
I'm always down for a hazmat suit.
Always down. That's why you keep one in your nightstand.
Mm-hmm. Just in case I ever have to outrun Worf and they put gas into the into the atmosphere.
I know this about you, Ben. It's glasses off, hazmat suit on.
I also have Remember Me, which I believe you opened recently. It's the one where people are disappearing on the ship and Beverly's the only one that's aware of it.
Boy, you gotta love a Beverly Crusher-centered episode.
And then I've got Gambit Part 2.
The sequel to the original Gambit.
Yeah. I think this is that one where Card and Riker get, like, abducted or something.
Oh, really? This time they go together, unlike the last episode?
Yeah. I don't remember it. Well, fun cards.
Yeah.
I'm excited I got a Worf card. I feel like this is, like, the first really, truly good one I've gotten since I got Baxter.
Yeah, I've started to feel guilty that I'm really kicking your ass in the cool card department.
Yeah, well, I think Worf is as cool as anyone I've opened, aside from George Baxter. So.
As cool as they get. I completely agree. All right, well, with that bit behind us... how'd you like to turn the page to Season 3, Episode 19, Captain's Holiday?
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
Let's turn the page, as Picard does so many times in this episode. Yeah, so the cold open is some weird lobster face aliens beaming down to a tropical planet and... like going to the hotel directory and asking where Captain Picard is staying, and the directory has no record of Picard being there. And they're like, could we have miscalculated?
These two aliens look like glittery chocolate cupcakes.
Yeah, they're real weird.
It's like if you're going to portray someone that is quote-unquote of the future on a show that's already in the future, you got to get pretty fucking weird.
Yeah.
And that's what these people are.
They definitely also feel like they came from the same imagination that gave us the Jay Leno aliens in the last episode.
Yeah.
Like whoever they have doing creature effects right now in the show's history is like, this type of stuff.
Well, we can't do those garbage bags again. That's out.
So the captain is back on the ship after negotiating a trade agreement, and he's just a ball of stress. He's, like, giving clipped answers to people's questions and just like, ugh, like, if anybody needs me, I'll be in my ready room drinking tea or I'll gray hot.
Yeah, his posture is all kind of slouchy. He's looking a little dour. He's looking a little yesterday's Enterprise, facially, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And this is one of the weirdest throw to opening credits sequence that they've done yet, which is Troy goes, I know what the captain needs.
Our captain needs a vacation.
Buh?
And then they just play that song, that vacation all I ever wanted. Yeah, that'll be a drop and not me singing, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of like weird tonally, right?
It is really weird. It's like...
they don't care about Picard's well-being at any other point.
Right.
Well, it's almost as if they need to create a show around us, around it, right?
It's funny, and it's also just an ep that spends a lot of time kind of redefining what it's going to be. You know? Like the plot, it's so plotty because they kind of reset the plot a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like, we're fairly deep into it before Picard has even been convinced to go on this vacation. There's a lot of goofing around where, like, Riker will hop on the elevator with him and be like, hey, what do you think about doing that vacation that the doctor almost ordered you to do? And Picard eventually just gives in because they threaten him with taking Loxana Troy aboard.
Yeah. The doctor is a fun scene with Picard where she basically reads the list of symptoms that that Leslie Nielsen's character reads to the cockpit in Airplane.
It's a classic case of stress-related ailments brought on by overwork. Exhaustion, irritability, muscle spasms.
At this point, the entire digestive system collapses, accompanied by uncontrollable flatulence, until finally the poor bastard is reduced to a quivering, wasted piece of jelly.
Yet he insists on ignoring it.
Picard clearly had the fish for dinner. They kind of wear him down, right?
Yeah, and the last straw is that they're saying, like, oh yeah, we're going to pick up Troy's mom on the way to whatever our next thing is. And Picard essentially vetoes the Lwaxana app.
Yeah, which is great. So yeah. At that exact moment,
nobody overrides his veto.
Troy's like, yeah, my mom's coming. It's going to be great. And Picard throws to Riker. He's like, we need to talk in my ready room right now. And on the walk by in the mid background, Marina Sirtis is like, yes.
Got him.
Yeah, exactly. That was fun.
I missed that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So Riker and Troy are walking Picard to the transporter room.
Yeah.
And Picard is wearing the standard, like, holiday apparel of, like, the half pirate V-neck. Very poofy sleeves.
Yeah, he's got the sleeves have skirts that go all the way down.
And this is something that you see only in the corridor on the walk to the transporter room. He's wearing pleated pants and somehow rocking tremendously low neck.
Yeah. Picard's packing, you know?
Like, real saggy neck. Which you wouldn't think were possible in some pleated pants.
Yeah, that's like, it's meant to be more modest than that.
Yeah.
But there's mad nuck.
Oh, super mad. Captain's nuck. You can see all the pips.
Yeah, they really went to town on how much nuck there is in this program. You know, I don't think I ever really, like, thought about it as a kid, but, like, this show makes an effort to show us some man package on a fairly regular basis.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
That's what he calls it.
And this isn't the first time you see Captain's Nuck. Captain's Nuck is basically third billing in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Gladys Knight is she's the first name that fades up after the credits roll. You know, all the featured players.
And introducing Gladys Knight as Captain's Nuck.
Yeah. as he's preparing to beam down, Riker says, like, hey, by the way, grab me one of these things that they got down there. It's called a Horgon. It's like a souvenir that you can get on Risa. Picard's like, all right, I guess you got it.
Riker's the guy right now who's been to Vegas every year for the last 20 years and is telling a newcomer, like, how to do it.
Right.
It's like, all right, you want to stay in this casino?
Mm-hmm.
You want to eat at this restaurant?
Yeah. Don't go to this casino. That place is a dump.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is a class joint.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not smarmy about it. Like, no. Everyone knows that guy who has the vacation recommendations, but Riker's not pushy. He knows who he's talking to.
Right.
Picard's not going to be into the same good time that Riker's into.
Right. But Riker wants him to be. This Horgon that he asks him to get is a bit of a prank, because Picard obtains one and then is, like, chilling on the planet's surface trying to read a book, and women are just throwing themselves at him and, like, offering him sexual favors. And he's like, he's eventually just, like, cheesed off enough with one of them. And he's like, can you please fucking knock it off with trying to fuck me? And she's like, well, why do you have the Horgon out?
The Horgon is the Rysian symbol of sexuality.
And he's like, ooh.
So not only does Picard have the Horgon out, he is wearing, like, a bandana around his captain's nook.
Yeah.
Like, he is wearing very short shorts, and he's got the Horgon, a combination that is like catnip to these women on Risa. And this is quintessentially Picard, right? The first thing he does is go run his errand for Riker. Like,
yeah, he gets all the business out of the way first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's got his, like, you know, 2,000-year-old book that he's reading.
Yeah. He doesn't even blast one out in the hotel room before going down to the pool like a gentleman.
So the first thing that happens when he beams down is he's like literally just materialized, and he's walking toward hotel check-in or whatever, and this beautiful woman comes running around the corner and just basically throws herself into his arms and starts kissing him. And it's because she's trying to distract a Ferengi, or make this Ferengi not want to come up and talk to her. And he goes like, oh, I guess you've mistaken me for someone else. And she's like, oh, yeah, that must be it. So we'll reconnect with her later. But when Picard is out here trying to read his book, that Ferengi comes and, like, steps into the light that Picard is bathing in and starts threatening Picard. He says he wants this disc.
This Ferengi, Sovak, is wearing a true blue Cosby sweater, isn't it? Like, this is not standard pool attire.
Yeah, and Picard squints up at him and is like, that's a nice sweater you're wearing, Theo! Where did you buy that? Is there a gift shop on the planet's surface, Rudy?
Waitress, two more pudding pop drinks.
You see?
Yeah, good times. And this fucking Ferengi is the most annoying Ferengi we've met so far.
Yeah, and this is the same guy that plays Quark's brother in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Same actor.
He's got a real underbite.
Yeah, he's got some gnarled teeth for sure. So there's a bunch of shit that happens here, and it's a little hard to remember, like, exactly what order it happens in.
I think we can do this, Ben.
Suffice it to say, there are several players in this game that is about to be afoot. There is the Ferengi, who funded Vash, the woman who kissed Picard early on, in stealing the like treasure map to this MacGuffin thing called the Tox Utat. Now there are also these aliens that look like the chocolate cupcakes, who claim to be security.
You Cosby'd that description, didn't you? You got the chocolate.
Shut up. They claim to be security officers from the 27th century who are tracking down this object, the Tox Utat, because it was, like, stolen from the future and hidden in the past. And it's, I guess, like a super powerful weapon of some kind. And so Picard, upon coming across all these people, agrees with Vash to team up with her to go find this thing. And so they're, like, trying to leave the resort area when the Ferengi catches up with them and, like, puts a gun in Picard's back, and he's like, you're going to take me to it now. And Picard manages to disarm the Ferengi and punch his lights out. And so they head off, and they go spelunking.
It is a guiding principle with Darth Vader's face. Now you can't find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth. You don't deserve to wear that uniform.
The Tox Utat is reputed to be in this system of caves. And so I guess it's like a long enough trip that they have to camp inside the cave, and where
they bring along a Ghostbuster-style proton pack backpack with them.
And
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, it was worth saying.
It's got some cups. It's got some barware on it, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, and it's got a couple of shovels in the back. They make camp, and Picard and Vash totally bang.
Yeah.
It's like I think, as far as I can remember, the first time the captain not under the duress of some alien influence has had, like, a healthy relationship with somebody more similar to his own age.
Well, even Picard's Indiana Jones getup has that deep V.
Yeah. He's working the deep V into a lot of his costuming.
Yeah. Which, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell in any other circumstance, but I think Picard can go chest-to-chest with Riker in the chest hair department.
Yeah, definitely great-looking chest hair, if it's not quite as prodigious as Riker's.
Yeah, very noble.
Yeah.
Very commanding.
Yeah.
Real squared away, Ben.
Yeah, he gives good chest. And they get down in this cave, and then, like, the next morning, they find where the Tox Utat is supposed to be buried, and they start digging for it, and the Vorgons appear, and that's the chocolate cupcake aliens. I'm just realizing that they're called the Vorgons, and there's also an object in this episode called the Horgon.
Yeah.
Who the fuck writes this shit?
It's very confusing.
Give me a break. You could call them anything.
Yeah, the object is called a temporary name.
And TK, the, TK.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
You got to fix it before shoot.
Or at least, like, loop something in after you shoot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Confusing. Yeah.
It's really hard to do a show like this when both the aliens and the object are so similarly named.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it is based on a true story, so...
So we're stuck with it.
So the Vorgons are going to stand there and just watch them dig until they get the Tox Utat. And Vash is like, fuck you. Like, you're going to give it to these assholes? Because she, like, wanted to give it to the Daystrom Institute, or so she claimed. Picard suspected that she really just wanted to sell it. And then the Ferengi shows up, and everybody knows he just wants to sell it to the highest bidder. So...
And Sovok's packing again.
Yeah, and this time he's upgraded from extremely weak-looking pistol to pretty threatening-looking, like, two-handed assault rifle.
Yeah, it's like a dustbuster with some handlebars.
Yeah. Yeah, and cow skull strapped to the front of it.
Little streamers on the side.
So they dig and dig and dig, and they do not find this this MacGuffin. And,
hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart's looking pretty ripped in this scene. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Well, he probably prepped for it by digging a bunch of holes, you know.
Captain's kind of jacked. He might be more jacked than Geordi.
Who knows? I mean, we haven't seen Geordi take his top off.
No, we sure haven't. And I hope we never do.
Are you kidding? That's so spankable. I can't imagine anything greater.
Oh, no. How dare you ruin a noble character like Geordi for me?
So they all just, like, leave in disgust. And the next day, Vash is, like, trying to check out of the resort. And Picard comes to her room and he's like, nice try, asshole. I know that you already have the Tox Utat. That was the only way to get the Ferengi off your back. She's like, yeah, turns out I actually do. And I hid it in this Horgon. And so she opens it up and shows it to Picard. I don't really know why she admitted this to him.
Yeah.
I guess she just didn't have a good way of, like, ensuring it would be where she had hidden it if she left with him or whatever.
Nothing makes sense in this episode, Ben.
Yeah. Not a lot of logic is brought to bear on any of the plot points. So the Vorgons show up and they're like, great, thanks. Can you give that to us now? We're going to go. And Vash is like, you're going to give it to these assholes?
You didn't trust me. What makes you think you could trust them?
These are the assholes that have been trying to steal it the entire time. They are not security officers. And Picard's like, whoa, I should have totally made sure that they were who they claimed to be. Damn.
They just told me they were from the future, and I took it for face value the entire time. Like, I'm Captain Picard. I love lawyering everyone. But these guys, forget it.
Yeah.
I believed them.
I'm super credulous around these cupcake guys. They just look so tasty.
Yeah, and so Vash is like, you can't let these people have it. And that's when Picard unleashes his plan B.
Yeah.
Which is, moments before, he had radioed up to Riker and is like, look, I need you to institute transporter code number 14. And he's like, wait for my signal, get it ready to go. And right before we cut back to Picard, Riker turns around to Worf and is like, what the fuck is that? Like, there, for a moment, I think you're meant to believe that there is no such thing as code 14.
Yeah.
So what it is revealed to be is locking on to Picard's communicator and blowing it up.
Yeah. So he snatches the Tox Utat, puts his communicator on it and like does a shoulder roll out of the way, and then it like dematerializes and explodes at the same time.
Yeah.
And the Vorgons are like, "You have done an amazing thing here today. You have fulfilled your destiny."
Like, they make the case that that's what they were expecting him to do the whole time. Yeah.
"We were really from the future, we swear. This is how it was all supposed to go."
It's like someone totally biffing a skateboard stunt and being like, "Yeah, I meant to do that. That was the trick the whole time." Like, dusts himself off and skates away.
That
like,
was awesome.
Yeah. "That was awesome. Good job, Picard. We're out of here."
Yeah, and then Vash is like, "Hey, you need like a hot Lara Croft type on your ship."
And Vash basically asks to occupy the archaeologist job posting that we know is available on that ship.
Yeah, and he's like,
"Because Slickback's mom died."
Right, and he's like, "You know, like people definitely die from having that job, so probably not for you."
It is literally the most dangerous job on our ship right now.
It's the reddest of shirts that you can possibly get.
"We give you red pants. The job is so red."
And so they have a little smooch, and that's the end of the episode.
"My love is a fever, long and chill for that, which longer nurses the disease. Tell me more, you'll have to go again."
I like Vash.
Yeah, she's a great foil for Picard.
Yeah,
they have real cool energy, like cool flirting, like she's definitely a great like she's well written, and she's like totally her own person. She's not just like a flat, idiotic sex object kind of character, which the writers of this show seem so tempted to write, even for characters that we've already established are not.
She is already so much more of a character than Deanna Troi, and that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, Troi was a character for a while, but they've definitely like taken some steps back with her.
She does a great service to the character of Picard, too. Like, she's dangerous in a way that is not like lethal or anything to him.
Right.
Like, she shakes him up and gets him out of his comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, guess what, Ben? That's how you grow as a character.
Dang.
You get out of your comfort zone, don't you?
So you're saying I should not just go through the routine of my life and never do anything that scares me a little bit?
You could try.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Adam.
You could try displaying a horgon, like in the in the form of a colored bandana, which is out of your back pocket, which is basically what a horgon is, right?
Yeah, I don't think my wife would take too kindly to that.
We don't really know what a horgon is supposed to communicate, right? Is it basically dicks open for business?
Yeah, yeah. Come get this sweet D.
So Picard beams back up to the Enterprise, and Riker is like, "You got my horgon?" And Picard gives him that look like, "I know what you were trying to do."
Yeah, we're gonna have to have a little chit-chat about that, bub.
And Riker, like, unzips his uniform and shows, like, the Danny Trejo-sized horgon chest tattoo that he has. Like, horgon life in Old English lettering across his belly.
Yeah, what does that stand for?
I feel like Risa was Riker's little secret for a long time, and mm-hmm. he saw this moment as a way to, you know, become friendly with Picard in not just a... you know, official capacity, like take their relationship to the next level. That was cool. This is a fun episode.
It was fun. It was very stupid, but it didn't kneecap itself.
Yeah, let's not mince words. This was a terrible episode, but it was also fun.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, it shows the potential for not having to be awful while being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like it's fine to have a dumb episode from time to time. It's like light and just fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, that's what this was. And it's great because I think this really sets the table for a season and maybe even a series that's maybe just all about Captain Picard having fun. Nothing bad's going to happen to him, especially in season 3. I don't get that feeling.
No, I think he's going to remain untouched.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find any Deep V-style drunk Shimodas?
Incredible! Drunk Shimoda!
I did. It's going to be Picard. It's a very short little scene that I just thought was really funny and proved to me that he was the character having the most fun in this episode. In the like brief moment in between Captain Picard beaming down and bumping into Vash, a bathing suit clad woman walks past him and they actually just have a shot of him turning around to look at her butt. It's like, I cannot believe that we are seeing a character on this show check a butt out. Like, that they edited that clip in. Holy shit.
I really want to know whether that was on the page or if that was a direction.
Yeah.
I want to know the answer to that so bad.
I know.
This seemed like a really fun episode to direct.
Yeah, totally.
Like, man, I don't know. It's a nice little field trip. It's definitely not outside. Mm-hmm. They do that thing where they do the fake outside scene.
Yeah,
that,
inside for outside.
Yeah, and they're not doing a great job with that.
Yeah.
Especially because they do such a good job on like the Malibu planet, you know?
Right.
Like you know the difference.
For sure.
My Shimoda is definitely, there's the choice between giving it to the character of Picard or giving it to Patrick Stewart, but I think this is the second episode in a row I'm going to give it to Patrick Stewart.
Wow.
Who, like, he's so game for all of this, right? Like,
yeah.
He's putting on the headband, swim shorts. He's looking at asses.
Yeah.
Like, he's a...
He's confident in his ability to portray this character in a very different scenario.
Yeah, he sees this coming. He knows the stakes, what the stakes are for his character. It's a total right turn that sort of illuminates the character in a totally different light. And he's totally game. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was super fun. And sort of like the last episode we watched, if you played it a little too broad or a little too tight, it doesn't work. But he found the sweet spot where
totally.
It's credible and good. And... like, this could be a character-ruining episode for Picard so easily, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if he's cartoonish with the ass look, if he, like, turns into Riker with Vash...
Yeah.
And suddenly becomes something he's not, like, Risa could have turned Picard into Riker, and it didn't. And everyone knew better than to make it like that. Like,
right.
It's a fish-out-of-water story in sort of reverse.
Totally.
So, I don't know. I thought practically the episode... did a great job, and Patrick Stewart himself just kind of threaded the needle again, as he does.
Yarmouk and Jalad at Tanagra.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Now, if you're like me, you were born in the 80s, and THC was vilified by teachers and police officers and members of the clergy and politicians, and it really got ratcheted up to a fever pitch. So I think it is fair to have a little bit of trepidation around this kind of thing. But I think for a lot of people, a microdose of a cannabis product is actually a great thing. And if you are interested in seeing why it is so ridiculous that the world went so reefer mad for so long, I encourage you to give Microdose Gummies a try. So get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code SCARVS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVS for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code SCARVS. Every morning when I hop out of bed, I get a couple of capsules of my Ritual multivitamin and a capsule of my Ritual Symbiotic Plus probiotic. I pop them in my mouth, wash them down with a bunch of water, and I know I've taken vitamins and supplements that are going to get my body off to a good start, and these are rigorously tested and validated by third parties for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. And they use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. The Essential for Men is the quality multivitamin that I take from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scarves. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scarves for 25% off.
This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast. Dominic and
Gillard. What do we have on the docket for the next episode?
The next episode is season 3, episode 20, Tin Man. The crew is thrust into a deadly showdown with the Romulans over a newly discovered life form in a remote star system. You remember this episode, Adam?
No, not at all.
This
I thought Tin Man would be another name for Armus. Did they find Armus again?
This is that one where they find like a living creature that's the size of a starship, and it's like supposed to serve as a starship. Like, so they like beam aboard, and it's like it's all like gooey. But if they want there to be a chair, it'll like make a chair appear out of the floor.
A gooey chair.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
I think it's a fun one.
Is that starship a little bit like an Aliens set?
Yeah,
like a little Geigery?
It's a little less intricate than a Geiger set. It's like if you bored a starship hallway out of a pile of poo, kind of a look.
Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds great.
I'm really excited about it. I remember liking this episode.
It looks like they're ready to spend some money again. We've had a couple of episodes that...
They've saved up a little bit?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
That sounds great. Let's go ahead and watch that. We have to, don't we?
We have to. We're required by law.
How many episodes are left in this season? They're all like 30-episode seasons, aren't they?
I think this is a 26-episode season.
All right.
Yeah. So, not too many left. Not too many shopping days before... Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah, it's funny how those episodes overshadow everything in season 3. That's why so many of these episodes are hard to remember, at least for me.
Yeah. Well, and also we haven't had a Luoxana episode yet, and that's been really nice.
Yeah. One thing that is easy to remember is our gratitude for all of our viewers who have helped make the production of this show possible.
Yeah.
If anyone would like to contribute to the production of the show, they can go to MaximumFun.org/donate. We also really appreciate any reviews that our viewers write or do, either in the form of stars, or maybe they have a weblog where they like writing about things that they like.
Or maybe they write for a major publication and want to include us in their pages. It would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We love reading our clippings, that's for sure. Except when they're angry and mean. We don't like that kind. So don't do it.
If you'd like to talk to us about the show, we're all over the internet. We're on Twitter. Adam is at Cup for Time. I'm at Benjamin AHR. Use the hashtag GreatestGen to find all of the fun stuff from this show and all the past shows. That's where you're going to see your Bill Tilly trading cards, for example.
Right.
We're also on Facebook. The Facebook group is The Greatest Generation, and there's also a Facebook page that you can like. And then Reddit is also super active. There's like There's like more than 600 people on the Reddit now. It's going
really?
Gangbusters. Yeah.
Wow.
And lots of fun conversations happen there all week, whether or not there's a new episode. So give that a gander.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see some more commingling, though, between the official Maximum Fun Reddit and our filthy viewers over on our page.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so flip over a table over on the Maximum Fun Reddit.
Yeah, turn a chair around, sit on it AC Slater style.
Sit on a lounger, rock some nuck over there.
Yeah.
Display your horgon.
Yeah, it's a nice group of people.
Yeah.
And so we should thank Dark Materia for our theme music and Adam Ragusea for our Jumbotron music. And with that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and a tin episode of The Greatest Generation. And a poop tunnel episode of The Greatest Generation.
A gooey, gooey chair episode. You don't want to sit in that gooey chair, Ben.
No, steer clear.
You definitely want to put down some newspapers or something.
Yeah. The arts and leisure section, I recommend.
That's what that's good for.
Yep.
Hey, were there any other scenes you wanted to discuss?
I just want to do something real quick.
Okay.
Forget it.
Are you jerking it to Geordi?
Yes.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.